Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Sneaky Sports Podcast, Season 4, Episode number 6 on this Thursday, January 20th, 2022. Nick and Frank, how we doing on this pre-divisional round weekend, I would say?
Yeah, I'm doing great as always. I went 6-0 in my picks this weekend. I think I matched my win total from all of last year's playoffs, which is pretty unbelievable. So we're looking to keep pushing, go undefeated, you know.
Yeah, good luck going undefeated, bro. Every single one of these games this week is a toss-up.
Agreed.
So, good luck.
I would say that all of them are, like, not 50-50, of course, because, like, obviously the Packers are still, like...
It could all go either way.
I agree.
I would guarantee that we're going to differ on probably every single game.
You pick all the favorites. That's all you do. Frank picks every single favorite in the book, but
I didn't pick the favorite. The 49ers weren't a favorite, and I picked them.
Okay, it was a trendy pick.
Favorite that didn't win. Yeah, I think the only favorite that didn't win was the Niners.
I picked the Patriots.
What do you mean I pick all the favorites?
Oh my gosh. Nah, you do. But I mean, no, the 49ers pick.
And the Bucs weren't favorites at all last year. I have no idea what you have.
Oh no, the Bucs weren't favorites. So you actually got that pick. I mean, no, good for you. I was just saying that, like, last week, the Niners were the trendy favorite in my eyes.
Yeah, I picked the Patriots.
They're going to be the trendy favorite this week, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, you know what? Good for you, Frank. Let's give an applause for Frank. And actually, he did go 12-1 last year. Let's give him credit. That was a fantastic run. But moving on to what we'll talk about in today's episode, kind of leaning off what we said, we will preview each game from the divisional round and just give our picks. And moving on to the NBA portion of the episode, we'll talk Russell Westbrook being benched and if the Mavericks can finally break out of the first round this season. And lastly, we wrap things up with Talk to Us Thursday, a staple on the podcast. So without further ado, let's dive on in. And actually, we can't dive on in yet. We can't dive on in yet because we have to remind you guys once again to rate our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I was glad to see we got two more reviews in Apple Podcasts, up from 30 to 32. And on Spotify, we're up from 12 to 16. So four more reviews on Spotify, two more on Apple. We appreciate all you guys. No new comments yet. So if you guys want to drop a comment along with your five-star review, we will read it at this point in the podcast. All right, now let's move on to today's episode and get into the Bengals and Titans, which will open our weekend up again Saturday at 4:30. This should be a fun one. Titans coming off their bye and honestly just probably the most slept on team in this playoffs, the most least talked about team. They're 12-5 for a reason. Mike Vrabel's been phenomenal. I think 88 different players they've had play this season, which is the most in the NFL, and they're still here. Derrick Henry, good news about him. He is going to be back for this game. They'll have A.J. Brown, we believe. They'll probably have Julio, I mean, unless something happens there. And then, you know, they're going up against, you know, Joe Burrow, that high-powered offense with Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. But, guys, what do you think about this game? Titans, I think, 6-point favorites or like 5.5-point favorites as of now. And Nashville should be rocking.
Well, if I was a betting man, I would take the Bengals on the points. Does that mean I think the Bengals will win? No, I think the Titans are going to win. Why? Because they're better coached. And they've had some time off to rest, and the best running back in the NFL is coming back. Personally, I don't see anyone on the Bengals defense. They're middle of the pack, I believe 17th ranked, stopping Derrick Henry. And, you know, sure, the Bengals are one of the only teams in the NFL that could probably keep up scoring. But I do think possibly if Cincinnati jumps out to an early start with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, that they can win the game. Tennessee really can't play from behind with that running game. And I don't trust Ryan Tannehill if the game's in his hands. So the only way I could see this going the Bengals' way is if they take an early lead. But otherwise, I think, you know, Henry and the Titans will have a pretty solid game. But who's going to answer in that Titans secondary for Chase and, you know, Higgins and everyone either? I don't know. But
not their cornerbacks, but their deep. Like, Byard is an all pro.
Yeah, if I have to, I'm going with the Titans, but I do think this will be a close game. And I think, like I said before, I could see this going either way.
Mm-hmm. I think the Titans offense has looked a lot better since A.J. Brown came back, because he was out for a while. Sure. But And, you know, like, they did come back versus the Niners. They were down 10 points. Like, they can do it. Like,
yeah, but I mean, 10 points is not much.
Okay, but if you're going to say, like, oh, they can't come back down 20 points, like, nobody does consistently. So, I mean, that's, like, not really. Like,
yeah, but you could say, like, an offense like Kansas City or Buffalo, like, or the Cincinnati can.
Even then, even if Kansas City's down 20, they're not consistently coming back. So, I just don't really like that. I mean, obviously, the hope is you don't go down 20 points, and I don't think they will. I don't know how effective Derrick Henry will be. Like, I don't know how much his workload will be. I think they're going to limit him a little bit. Nah. But they'll see as the game goes along. But I think A.J. Brown being fully healthy, I mean, he is a dynamic playmaker, and they've looked a lot better since he came back. And Julio Jones, hopefully we can, like, see something from him. But the week off is huge, I think. And the Titans, one's going to the one seed for a reason. So I think they have this one. The Bengals will keep it close, so it won't be a blowout. It'll be a good game for sure, but the Titans have the edge here.
No, I'm definitely encouraged by what we saw from Tennessee down the stretch, and particularly Ryan Tannehill. Nobody's really talked about it because everyone wants to bash him for the down year he's had. But over his last three games, 7 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. You know, you had Julio in 2 of those games. You had A.J. Brown in all three of those games. So if they can keep that up, or Tannehill's playing, you know, just not turnover football, you know, not turning the ball over, just keeping it with this team. I think the Titans have a great shot, and that's why I'm picking Tennessee in this one. I don't think people just give them enough credit for what they have done this year, winning 12 games, the best record in the AFC, with all these injuries, with Derrick Henry, I mean, missing most of the season, or half the season, you would say. So I think Tennessee is just being so done dirty, so done wrong. I mean, just being disrespected. This team is great, and I think people just lose sight of that because maybe they're not the most flashy team or whatever.
But Mike Vrabel has done an excellent job. Like you said, I think he should be, if not the coach of the year, up there for sure with that team. So, and I think their defense will be ready to play. I think all you got,
their defense has been pretty good this year.
Remember that stretch that they had on those primetime games where they just kicked everyone's ass? I think we're going to see a little bit of that Titans defense and that pass rush soon. You got to remember too, the right side of the Bengals offensive line is very, very vulnerable. And Harold Landry had a nice season. Bud Dupree's healthy. Jeffrey Simmons inside.
Yeah, they'll be fine for sure. They're 12-5. They went through a rough stretch in December, late November. They weren't great. They were kind of feeling the effects of all their injuries. But when they've been healthy, they've been one of the best teams in football. And there's no reason to believe that'll change this week. So
yeah, and you look at Tennessee's resume. They probably have the best resume in football. Exactly. They beat the Chiefs, the Colts twice.
Rams.
They beat the Bills. They beat the Rams. I mean, you match this team's resume up with any others, and it's the best, I would argue. That's why I don't get the disrespect. I don't get it.
No, right, I completely agree.
We'll talk about the Niners, though, now. I really don't – people might see this as the furthest, you know, game out of the stretch this weekend, score-wise possibly, but I don't really see it that way. But the Niners taking on the Packers in Lambeau Field. This is going to be Saturday night. Temperature is set to be 12 degrees at game time, real feel of 3 degrees. So I think that benefits the 49ers, who are a little bit better of a rushing team. They beat the Cowboys on the road last week. We all picked that game correctly. The Packers had the bye week. Bakhtiari, Alexander, and Zadarius Smith will be back. I think Whitney Merciless is going to be back also as a pass rusher off the edge, which will help. But Fred Warner and Bosa should be in for San Francisco, although they're a little nicked up with the concussion and the ankle injury. I do think this was going to be really close, but, you know, thinking about it more, the Niners really only played 3 good quarters last week. They really, you know, sold at the end of the game. And Warner and Bosa are a little banged up, so I'm going to lean towards the Packers, but I do think this is going to be a close game this weekend, and it'll go right down to the wire. But we saw that happen in the regular season game earlier this season, and the better quarterback came out on top, and I think that'll happen again.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Who isn't banged up at this point? It's like the divisional round of the playoffs. Everybody's banged up. All these guys the Packers should have coming back, like, they're all banged up. Everybody's feeling the wear and tear of the 17-game season. But if the Niners can just play like they did the first, 40 minutes, I'd say, of that game versus the Cowboys, they could beat anybody. I mean, great rushing attack. Jimmy G getting the job done. Defense looked great. So I'm going to go with the Niners here. I trust Shanahan. I just think they got to play better down the stretch because Aaron Rodgers – will win them the game if he was in that situation that the Cowboys were in last week. But I really like what I've seen from the Niners down the stretch. I think they've been the best team in the NFC West. And I think they have a real shot here. I think they're one of the teams that matches up really well versus Green Bay. So I'm going Niners.
Yeah, everybody knows how much of a Niner fanboy I've been all season, but I'm taking the Packers in this one. I mean, in Lambeau, Frank said that the weather will favor the 49ers. I totally disagree. The Packers practice outside in this weather, you know, all season.
And that's the same argument with Buffalo. And you guys were like, oh, that weather favors New England.
Well, listen, I mean, New England plays in Massachusetts, and it's not like that's warm.
Yeah, but it's no Buffalo, but it's definitely still cold.
No, I think we were just saying that Buffalo's play style of the aerial attack, I think being in the cold weather hurts them. That's what we meant by that. We didn't mean like they wouldn't be prepared to play a cold weather game. But when I look at the Packers, like, they have a top 10 defense, which anytime you give Aaron Rodgers a top 10 defense in the playoffs, he's won a Super Bowl the one year they had one, or a top 5 defense, I should say. Yeah, but so
they were good last year.
The only issue is the Packers really, really struggle to stop the run. And if you think about to the most recent game where they played a good rushing attack, which was the Browns, Nick Chubb ran all over them. If it wasn't for Baker Mayfield turning the ball over 4 times, you know, Cleveland wins that game. That's the only thing that really concerns me. They're very, very vulnerable in against the run, and that's where the Niners succeed. So I do think it's going to be really
close. Listen, though, Jimmy Garoppolo can point out
has a sprained shoulder too, by the way. And that's going to – he said it was affecting him. So that's something to look at too.
Yeah, listen, we can point out all the Packers' flaws, but the run defense is kind of at the bottom of importance. I feel like, I mean, quarterback play to me is like the deal breaker. And the bottom line is like Jimmy G in cold weather, I don't know how much I could trust him really. I think the Niners offense will be very like one dimensional. Maybe Debo will have a big game.
They've won games like that though. Like they have like the formula.
No, but Jimmy G's been pretty good, I would say. I mean,
the last time they played the Packers in the NFC Championship game, Jimmy G had like 60 passing yards.
Yeah, he did nothing.
No, he did nothing. Yeah, no, he did. But
like the formula is there. I think he's going to have to throw for more than 60 passing yards. I think he's going to have a solid game. But the formula is there for them to win and not on the shoulders of Jimmy G. And I think
he turns the ball over like he did against Dallas in the fourth quarter against the Packers.
That was a bad interception. He can't have that.
But that's the thing, too, that concerns me is he only played 40 minutes. They only played 40 minutes, and he missed that big throw to Ayuk on the sideline. Like, they didn't play a complete game. And sure, you might have got away with it against Dallas, but you're not going to get away with that against Green Bay. And also, just converting in the red zone. Some opportunities where they had on third downs, you know, they settled for field goals. You can't score field goals against Aaron Rodgers. You can't.
But that's what we're saying. Like, Aaron Rodgers, since week one, since his, like, whatever that was versus the Saints – he's thrown 40 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Yeah, he's been
dominant. And to say that, like, the Packers, I mean, look at the Packers resume. For 16 games now, last 16 games, they've played flawless offensively, it feels like. And defensively, they've been a top 10 unit. I'm taking that over at home, not to mention with those Lambeau fans, it's full capacity. It wasn't full capacity last year when they lost in the AFC or NFC Championship game. So I like the odds that Green Bay has to just come out with a win.
They've been close to losing. Once we already mentioned the Browns, same thing with the Ravens, very close to losing these games. And had it not been for, you know, a few things here and there, they could lose both.
Oh, God, if you're an NFL team, you're going to lose games. I mean,
I'm just saying, like, they're not unstoppable. Like, I feel like a lot of people think they are. Like, they're
blown. I don't think anybody thinks they're unstoppable.
The Niners are that team that is like kind of built to beat them, I think.
Niners match up the best against everybody.
They match up the best, yeah.
Besides, they match up against everyone well because they can run the ball so well.
The only thing you're questioning here is if Jimmy G will play well. If Jimmy G has a good game, like they're gonna win. You know, that's the only thing we're worried about.
I don't even think you want to have Jimmy G. I don't think you want to have the game in Jimmy G's hands.
No. But you want to have a competent game,
a clean full game.
You know, like he wasn't winning in the game versus Dallas, but he was playing competent and clean.
He wasn't
and
losing
smart.
The game either. Yeah.
You know, like that. If he does that the whole 60 minutes, they're going to win this football game.
You know, I will say though, Debo scares me because Debo out of the backfield has been just different
no
in the ways he can get in the ball. Yeah, there's no answer. Look at like the body of work he's had the past like 10 weeks of the season. Everyone thinks, oh, like game plan for it. You can't game plan for that.
To be honest with you, I'm a little worried about the Packers starting slow and the Niners coming out hot. We saw that in the Dallas game. You know,
Dallas was nervous, reportedly, according to Mike McCarthy. Listen, I don't think.
I think Green Bay is going to be a little rusty. I really do. I think the Niners, you know, the Niners are going to come out hot. I am taking the Packers, but I think this is going to be really close. And like Graf said, if Jimmy G plays a good game, they'll win.
This is definitely a close game. Like I've said about the Niners all year, they're built for January football.
Oh, for sure.
Just that, I think this Packers team, like the season Aaron Rodgers is having, I think they're just, I think it's destiny this year for Green Bay. I think they're winning it all.
So I'd like to see that.
Oh, man. Well, let's move on to the third game of the weekend. Rams at Bucks.
Wow.
This is one of the more exciting ones. The Rams blew out the Cardinals on Monday. The Bucks blew out the Eagles on Sunday. So they're both coming off pretty easy, convincing wins. The big question here is the Bucks offensive line health. Obviously, the center is a little banged up, and then Wirfs on the right side. We don't know what his status is yet. And they really do need both those guys, because obviously when you play the Rams, Von Miller, Aaron Donald, you know, like that's the big thing there. But I don't know, like the Bucks offense, they really haven't missed a beat. Like they, Brady threw for how many yards last week, especially in the first half? Like they were getting everything at will. I know the Rams have Jalen Ramsey, but I just like this Bucks offense is still great. Fournette will be back. So I'm picking the Bucks here. We've talked about this a lot. I still don't trust Stafford come playoff time because he hasn't really proven anything, and he's thrown a lot of interceptions down the stretch. I think he played a pretty good game last week, but like once again, the Cardinals were just outmatched in that game. They just weren't playing well. So, you know, not too much to take away from that. I'm going Bucks here in a pretty close one, though. Not much else to say on my end.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is another one that's tough, because when I look at these two teams, I think it's just going to boil down to if Tristan Wirfs plays, he's played in, I think, every single game Brady's been there. The last 2 years, he's been a rookie, so he hasn't missed one game.
I saw a stat
that, you know, their pass blocking, or I think it was like the pressures they allow was the most in the second half versus Philly that like they've ever allowed without Wirfs. So, like, I think the Rams with Von Miller, Aaron Donald, you still have Leonard Floyd, who's a monster. Like, you have those three guys. I think it could really cause some problems for Brady. And then it gets back to the point of, you know, is Brady going to be able to get the ball out quickly? Because now you have to look at that.
Or are they going to be able to get open?
And I don't know exactly, because when you have Jalen Ramsey in the back end guarding Mike Evans, you don't know what other guys can get open. Now, Gio Bernard was big in the Rams game the first time, so you have to hope he can have that similar production that Gronk he had. Gronk needs to have a big game. I think he might. I think he could deliver. But that's just – no, not having Wirfs really scares me for Tampa, and I think it's likely they don't have Wirfs, at least.
I don't know yet. I just think the fact that he was able to go out there is convincing.
Yeah, but he was in a walking boot.
Yeah, but that doesn't really mean much. I think sometimes that's just precautionary.
Precautionary, yeah. I mean, that's,
you know what, though? I mean, Clay, like, there's a lot of players who go out and try to play again after injuries.
Make your pick.
All right, I'm going to go Rams.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing, actually. I don't want to give an official pick until I can see whether or not Tristan Wirfs is playing. If he's not playing, I'll pick the Rams. Okay. If he's playing, I'll take the Bucks. Simple as that. I really think the game comes down to him. And I think, like, you know, the Rams really have the recipe to beat the Bucks. You know how much Brady struggles when they get that pressure. And the Eagles got after him in the second half. And think about it. They know Mike Evans and Gronk are the guys, you know, they need somebody else to make plays. And I don't think Tyler Johnson and Cyril Grayson and Rashard Perriman can make those plays consistently.
You know why I do think I make plays for the Bucs? I think Bernard and Fournette can. I think the two backs can be very productive.
They'll need to. But the Rams defensive line has been playing very good lately. Ever since that Cardinals game that they had on Monday Night Football away in Arizona, their defensive line has really figured it out. Yep. Von Miller looks excellent again. Greg Gaines is playing good inside with Donald and Leonard Floyd on the other side. Like, they look excellent. But I do think they're very vulnerable in the back end. Besides Ramsey, they're very vulnerable, especially at the safety position. Taylor Rapp's probably not going to play, still concussed. So I think Gronk needs to have a huge game.
I think Gronk will then deliver.
But Wirfs is the big thing to me. If he's in there, I could take the Bucks because I'm confident that they can protect Brady. If he's not,
this is what I don't get about the Rams. Like, you're right. Like, their defensive line's been playing great, and they just seem like so stacked. But like, they blew out the Cardinals last week. But they've had so many close games. And they've had so many close.
Yeah, because Stafford's been turning the ball over recently.
That's concerning to me.
Yeah, the Bucks defense looked really, really good. They had a lot of intensity against Philadelphia. They really did.
Well, exactly. Especially Levante David came back. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know though. Stafford got the monkey off his back by winning that game versus the Cardinals. Yeah, I don't think
win that game.
Yeah.
W's on the stat sheet. That's what happened.
Yeah. And Cam Akers back for the Rams is big, because sure, you might not be able to run against the Bucs defense, but if there's anyone that's going to do it, it's going to be the Rams. They need to be physical at the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. No, Cam Akers is a guy. He's a guy.
Yeah,
he's a playmaker for sure, but I don't know. I'm not taking away too much in that Cardinals game because the Cardinals just look unprepared. They did not look ready for that game. I mean, they've been, I mean, let's just be realistic. They only ended up winning four of their last 11 games. Like, they were a bad football team coming into this game.
And
they
when D-Hop,
7-0 start, they were a bad football team. They didn't have D-Hop. You know, it's like, I'm not really taking away too much from that win. I know they won their first playoff game, but I don't know. I'm still just looking at all the close calls they had. And like, the fact they lost to the Niners the last week of the season, like, there's just like, this Rams team is very confusing to me. I don't know what to make of them. And for that, I have to go with the Bucs.
Yeah, I'm just not letting Stafford get in the way of me picking the Rams. I think he'll be fine. Like, last game didn't have a single turnover. And the jitters, that couple game stretch where he turned the ball over a lot, I think it's past him.
I forgot too that Whitworth is on the injury report. Remember, he got hurt last game too, so that's big. Yeah. But
what happened to you guys last week saying I'd never bet against Brady ever? Well, here you are betting against Brady.
I'm not. I didn't make my pick.
I guess I'm betting against Brady. You know what though? Can I do the same thing as Frank is doing and say if Worf's
plays? That's a cop out, I think.
How is it a cop out?
Okay, fine. Listen, I'll pick the Rams.
Best offensive lineman that the Bucs have. It's not a cop out at all.
How about this? I'll make my pick at halftime. If the Bucs are up 17, I'll go with the Bucs.
It's different. Worf was like an all pro caliber guy the last 2 years. He's all pro caliber.
I completely agree, but like every team has injuries. Like that's just how it is.
If your fifth string receiver's hurt and your best offensive lineman's hurt, it's definitely a factor considering that they're missing a lot of weapons on offense.
I think all me and Frank are doing is saying, like, it's Thursday right now, so we're making our game picks too early.
We were recording this on Sunday morning or sat like
then I'd make a pick.
And I had a better idea, But the one injury report came out so far.
But you know what? Just for the sake of the podcast, I'll pick the Rams. I'll pick the Rams. I'll stay by it if they lose. I'll pick the Rams.
But you think if Tristan Wirfs plays, the Bucks will win?
I do.
I do, but I'll just pick the Rams for this podcast. And I'll stick by my pick. I won't.
I'm staying with my pick. If Wirfs plays, I'm taking the Bucks. If he doesn't, I'm taking the Rams.
Okay. All right, and now to wrap up the slate, we have another massive game, Bills at Chiefs. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but pretty much the Bills, like, there's a theory out there that they're cursed. Their white uniforms, the white jerseys with the blue pants, they're cursed. Like, they're 0-5 in all these big games. You look at last year's AFC Championship, the wild card game versus Houston, the wild card game versus Jacksonville
Wear blue on blue.
Yeah, exactly. So they're wearing white on white, and the whole social media team made a big deal about it, how they're wearing the white on white now, and the fans were hyped. It was all over Bills' Twitter. So the Bills should not be cursed in this game as they head to Arrowhead for a rematch of last year's AFC Championship. Bills blew at the Pats last week, which we got terribly wrong. The Chiefs beat the Steelers, which, I mean, to no one's surprise, they did that. And yeah, both offenses are red hot right now. You look at Josh Allen, the way he's playing. You look at Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's self-explanatory that we should have a good one on our hands. Last year, a lot of the criticism from this game from the Bills side was Sean McDermott's lack of aggressiveness, where he was kicking a lot of field goals, you know, punting, not going for it on fourth and short. So it's going to be interesting, man, this year, if Buffalo can just get off to a faster start. They got off to a really slow start last game, getting down like 21-0 or something like that. Like, I don't think they got, I think it was 21-0 correct.
That sounds about right.
But yeah, I'm going to pick the Chiefs though. I'm picking the Chiefs. I mean, come on, who are we kidding ourselves here? I mean, the Chiefs are that team. The defense has been playing better as of late. The offense, I mean, you see when they're really in that gear to go and it's a game that they have to win, they always deliver.
Yeah,
it's that simple.
They can't start as slow as they did last week, though, against Pittsburgh. You'll lose the game, especially since
Buffalo. I don't know about that. I mean, you always say that, but like,
Buffalo started so hot against the Patriots, too. I think if there's any year that Kansas City is going to lose and there's any team that they're going to lose to, it's going to be this week. To me, this is the AFC Championship game. Whoever wins this game, to me, will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. And I think, you know, Josh Allen is probably playing like just as good as Aaron Rodgers right now. He might be the best quarterback on the planet right now, considering how good he's been. But at the end of the day, the Chiefs are home, and I think Arrowhead gives them an advantage. So I'm going to take Kansas City, but I wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo beat them at all.
Yeah, I got to go Kansas City. They've just been unstoppable the past couple of months. They started out around 500. They weren't looking good. The defense has figured it out enough. And Patrick Mahomes just looks great right now, making good decisions, spreading the ball around. And it's just the fact that they can score so quickly. I just looked at last year's playoff game. The Bills were up 9-0. And same thing, the Chiefs scored 3 touchdowns in like a really quick span.
Oh, my mistake. So like it was 21-9, yeah.
Yeah, but so that's what I'm saying. Like, we see that all the time. We saw it last week too. Like, they just score touchdowns like in the blink of an eye, and like bunches of them. And it's just, I don't really see what, if the, like, the Bills haven't given me a reason to think they can stop that or necessarily overcome it. And the Chiefs just look as good as ever. So it's really hard to pick against them, especially at home. So I'm going Kansas City.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot that. Who was it? Mecole Hardman muffed the fumble or muffed the punt, Yeah. And that's what kind of started that, you know, Bills lead.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, the Chiefs got down 9-0. You saw with their offense, man, I don't care if they have the same first half versus what they did versus the Steelers. They can score 5 touchdowns in 12 minutes like they did. 3 touchdowns in 5 minutes.
Yeah, but Josh Allen's different, bro. And Buffalo, like, you played against the Pittsburgh Steelers, incompetent offense.
I mean, listen, did we not see, like Graf said, they're up 9-0 and they scored 3 touchdowns, meaning the Chiefs defense had to get 2 stops at least. And they probably got the 2 stops. And like, Josh Allen isn't invincible.
Buffalo's offense is better than they were last year, and they've established a run game.
I don't think so.
Stephon, this comes down to defense. You're not going to win the game if you let up 30 points as you did last.
Buffalo has a better defense than Kansas City.
Oh, they do. But a lot better. Trey White's out now, and I think it's closer than you think. Trey White's out for Buffalo now, so their defense has been worse. Kansas City's defense getting hot at the right time.
Yeah, Buffalo's defense is on another level, though.
I don't know.
I'm still
Are you picking Buffalo?
No, I'm still picking Kansas City, but I don't think it's going to be.
See, Frank, you have the weirdest you're saying all these positive for Buffalo, and then you're like, I'm picking Kansas City still.
Yes.
Josh Allen's the best quarterback on the planet. Their defense
I'm telling you that it's not going to be like the game it was last year, and that if Kansas City does what they did against Pittsburgh, they're going to lose this time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they will, though. I think, like, you always think in hypotheticals. To say that they're going to get off to the slow start, like, it's not going to happen.
I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying if they do, because they got off to a slow start last game, they will lose again.
Yeah, but is it even worth bringing up? I mean,
they
it's
really
just such
a
slim possibility.
Start. They literally went down 7-0 off of like a fluke play. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't score. They didn't score until the second quarter. Before
Their offense got off to a slow start. The defense clearly kept up. I mean, they shut them out.
They didn't score points for 20 minutes in the football game. That's not good.
Oh, it's not good, but, like, I just think it's not even worth bringing up, like I just said, because, like, it's such a rare possibility that happens again. I don't see the point in, like, bringing it up, like,
and
like,
the fact that they cannot score 20 minutes into the game and then still finish with 42, like, that in itself is, like, incredible. So, I don't know. I'm not really taking
that's promising,
up.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, Pittsburgh, like, I know everybody likes to meme on them. They're still a playoff team. They still have, like, a solid defense. You know, like, they made the playoffs. They're not the worst team ever, so. Yeah, like Kansas City's offense is just capable of things that like no one else is, and they're at home. I think it's impossible to pick against them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all have the Chiefs there. Okay. All right, so our AFC Championship.
So let's just review. We have all 3 Tennessee.
All 3 Kansas City.
2 Green Bay, 1 San Francisco, that's Graf. And then we're
two
all
Bucks,
on
1 Ram.
Well, I'm on the Rams. The Bucks one's very iffy right now.
No, just give me the Rams. Just lock my pick in. Give me the Rams.
And then Bills and Chiefs, everyone's on KC. Okay.
Yes.
You know what? I'm betting against Brady again. Love it. I'm kidding. Last year, that's what really screwed me over my picks. I bet against Brady like every week. And
those were all of my picks last year. The only ones I got right were betting on Brady.
But listen, you know what? My motto is eventually betting against Brady will work. You know, it has to work eventually. Eventually, it's going to work.
He only wins 80% of his games. So
yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We're good.
All right, let's talk about the NBA now and Russell Westbrook. He got benched in the fourth quarter last night versus the Pacers. He was 5 of 17 in 26 minutes. Guys hitting the side of the backboard, the top, everything you could, you know, besides making the ball in the basket. The Lakers management, they told Frank Vogel pretty much you got to do what you got to do to win in regards to, you know, benching Westbrook down in clutch time. We've said this a lot this season. He's just not capable of spacing the floor, and having him out there is not good at sometimes, especially when you have other playmakers like LeBron out there. So what do you guys think of this? And do you guys think this is kind of foreshadowing a move, for Russell Westbrook at the trade deadline?
Yeah. I don't know why people keep saying that. Like, where is he going to go? Who's going to trade for him? How does that, that's not going to happen. Like, they're stuck with him. They screwed themselves royally. He's been horrible. And like the fact that the Lakers management signed off on the fact that like, it's okay to bench him if that's what you think gives you the best chance to win. Like, that tells me all I need to know. Like, they are now aware that Russell Westbrook is just horrible. Who wants him? What championship contender gets better by getting him? Or what young team benefits by giving up assets for him? No, nobody benefits.
Nobody.
Nobody benefits. You're stuck with him. I don't know how people are so delusional. They think the Lakers could just move on from Westbrook. Like, no.
No, they're going to try.
But they can't. Like, they just can't. They'd have to give up other assets to get rid of him. Like, he's horrible. He's on a huge contract and nobody wants him. I mean, yeah, exactly. He was 5 of 17 yesterday. He's terrible. He shoots terrible. He does everything terribly. He doesn't play defense.
Oh, everything terrible. I mean, yeah,
probably. He legitimately might be the worst player in the NBA when you factor in his salary and his expectations and like what he's supposed to do. He might be.
I don't know
what.
If you factor in like, no, I don't know if he's the worst. I would just say maybe the least valuable asset. I don't know if you can
say
like the worst.
He is the least valuable asset in the NBA. I can totally agree with that.
Yeah, but what I'll say, so he's shooting 32% from the field, 25% from three in the month of January.
Okay, that's horrible.
The thing about it is it caught my eye. He's shooting only like 15 shots a game, which if you look at his career, that's like comparable to his rookie season. So he's clearly kind of, I don't know if it's the confidence has just been a little lost, because I know a lot of people say Russell Westbrook always has the ultimate confidence, but do we even think that anymore? It seems like to me his confidence has shot.
I just think, even think it's confidence. I think it's just all role based. He doesn't bring up the ball.
So yes, he's only getting 15 shots a game. Like, no, duh, he's not going to get 27 shots a game like he did on OKC. There's no doubt.
The highest shots he's ever gotten, 24. He actually shot 24 his MVP season.
24? Yeah. Like, he doesn't deserve that, though. Like, he hasn't.
I agree. So what I'm saying is that, like, his role on the Lakers is obviously just at this point, especially with AD coming back potentially. I mean, it's probably just an unclear role, and you're getting benched now in the clutch time, and the relationship over there with their coach and the rest of the players.
I think Vogel's getting fired, to be honest with you. That's my thought.
I think Vogel.
I disagree.
Might get fired. But if management gave him the green light, then yeah.
You don't just fire a coach. Like, who are they going to bring in?
I don't know. I just listen.
Vogel's not the issue. Like, he's an NBA championship head coach. The team sucks. Like Jesus Christ isn't going to make Russell Westbrook learn how to score the basketball. Like, that's not his fault.
Make a three.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like Frank Vogel wasn't the one who pushed for Westbrook. It was LeBron and the Lakers front office. I'm sure Frank Vogel probably didn't want Russell Westbrook because any NBA mind saw this coming from a mile away. Of course he doesn't fit. When has Russell Westbrook ever played winning basketball ever in his career?
He literally played with Kevin Durant winning basketball.
Yeah, but Russell Westbrook has been with a mixture of superstars now. And every single superstar has left him, or he's failed playing with another good superstar.
The Thunder made the finals once, and a lot of people consider Westbrook's performance in that final series one of the worst ever. And then they have, obviously, they blew the 3-1 lead to Golden State, and everybody blames Durant for everything, but Westbrook plays a huge part in that. Like, he doesn't play winning basketball.
Yeah, no.
He was overwhelmingly talented. No wonder they won a few playoffs.
He just can't play alongside another superstar. He can't.
Because he doesn't play winning basketball.
He didn't do it in Houston.
He can go join some garbage team like the Rockets right now, average 25 and 15. Oh, and he gets 10 rebounds a game. He's the greatest point guard ever. But that's not winning basketball.
Come on. Look.
He can't play alongside other superstars. He couldn't do it in OKC. He couldn't do it in Houston. And he can't do it now with the Lakers. It's just a fact. It's a fact.
Yeah, the Lakers knew what they were trading for. Like, it's not like he's even playing any really
worse.
That's what we said last week.
LeBron's all about faces, names. Oh, we can get another
superstar. I don't even know if it's I won't say that. To be fair to LeBron and the Lakers, they didn't have like much. I know the Buddy Hield option was an option, but like that probably would have
been an option too. They had options.
If they got DeRozan, that obviously would have changed the game.
Lowry couldn't have been an option.
There were tons of options on the table. So don't even say that.
I think the Buddy Hield one was the most realistic one.
The Lakers have house money. They can get whoever they want.
Why was DeMar DeRozan not a realistic option? He literally said, I wanted to sign with the Lakers.
Yeah, but they wanted to offer him a veteran minimum.
Because they didn't have any money to offer. They couldn't offer
the
max.
It's Russell Westbrook.
Remember, I mean, you need a trade to mess. So they couldn't like just sign DeMar DeRozan unless there's a sign-in trade.
They would have had to give up Talen Horton Tucker and a second round pick. Oh no.
No, probably probably Kuzma too. But yeah, Kuzma.
I mean, the Bulls give up Thaddeus Young. Like, are you kidding me? Like that's not a factor. The fact of the matter is they had tons of other options and they chose Westbrook. They dug their own grave. Literally, just Kyle Lowry and nothing else would be an upgrade over Russell Westbrook right now. 1,000%. Because he's a leader, he hustles on defense, and he can shoot the rock.
It would be. I think it just, like, I always was a big fan of Russell Westbrook's playmaking, but honestly, like, the turnovers have just gotten, the turnovers have just outweighed the good passes. Like, it just, I mean, four turnovers a game.
The most overrated playmaker in history, because I'm like a guy like Chris Paul or Trae Young, he doesn't make any of his teammates better. He doesn't put them in position to succeed. He hunts for assists. Guys like Chris Paul, like, we always talk about how he makes all his centers look like superstars. Russell Westbrook doesn't make anybody look good. He's the most overrated playmaker in history, but because he gets 10 assists a game, he's tremendous.
That's a hot take for me. It's flaming.
It's not a hot take.
No, but like,
Has Russell Westbrook made better in his career?
Like, Steven Adams, I guess you could say. I don't know. I mean, like,
Steven Adams is playing great with the, I think Steven Adams is having his best
with the Grizzlies. He is
with the Grizzlies.
But
right
he also
now.
Has John Morant now. He's another great point guard.
Oh, yes, exactly. A player who makes the teammates around him better. Exactly.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Russell Westbrook.
I think anyone would.
Oh, Frank and Graf, duh. Everyone would take Ja over Westbrook.
I would literally
right
take anybody
really...
in the NBA. I'd take any point guard in the NBA over Russell.
All right, so think about it from this perspective. Is there a single team right now in the NBA that Russell Westbrook can make better? The only one I could possibly think of, seeding-wise, is the Spurs, but it'll hurt your development of your young players.
No, wait, that's like the most random team you picked. What?
How?
Maybe the Spurs? Because they have DeJounte Murray, who's literally a better Russell Westbrook.
Well, exactly. You're proving the point that there is no team he makes better.
You know what? I would say a team like you look, and you guys might backlash me, but the Pelicans, because you look at their point guard situation with the Devontae Graham, who's an inefficient guard, like a team like that he definitely can make.
He brings any of these bottom 10 teams. Obviously, he raises their ceiling a little bit, but like for what? Like, what does that accomplish?
Well, he stunts the development of your good young players. That's the number one thing as well. So you wouldn't want him.
You know, the Pacers, he would help the Pacers, I would say.
He would raise
their
ceiling a little bit, but same thing. I mean, the moral of the story is Russell Westbrook is untradeable right now. He's not good, and his contract is ridiculous.
Yeah, so the trade talks, there's no point even talking about potential trades. No one's going to trade for him.
The fact of the matter is, the fact that this is even like a question right now, like the Lakers are screwed. They're screwed.
I don't know. I just don't like talking about – I don't like talking about how hostile you guys are talking so hostile about Westbrook. I can acknowledge
I've always just been like so sick of this. And I was right on this at the beginning of the year and you didn't listen to me. I said this was a disaster. Why would you trade for Russell Westbrook when you have LeBron? Literally anybody else would. I think Russell Westbrook might have out of the 450 players in the NBA. I think Russell Westbrook is the last one I would pick to pair next to LeBron. And it's showing. Like, literally, look who's playing in crunch time. Like, Stanley Johnson's getting minutes.
Picked him up off the street a week ago.
To be fair, Stanley Johnson's been playing well for the Lakers.
Exactly.
He actually has been.
Exactly. And he's making $400,000 compared to $40 million.
It would be nice if the Lakers really just even got Buddy Hield. I mean, obviously, looking back at it now, like, that would be great. But, you can't change the past, obviously, now. And the Lakers are probably in trouble for this season.
They're in trouble. I mean, they're in trouble for a while. When are they? They're never going to be able to move Westbrook.
But
contract.
I think he's a player option after this season or something like
maybe.
I don't think it's that.
He might accept. He just wants the money.
He might accept. But hold on. I think it's a. I think it ends.
He does have
soon.
A player option.
Okay, and he's probably going to accept that. I mean, isn't LeBron
$47 million?
Is LeBron a free agent this year? No,
LeBron has another season.
That would be interesting if LeBron was a free agent.
Where else is Westbrook getting $47 million and getting to live in LA? Of course he's going to accept the player option.
No, he's going to accept it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's his last bag.
All right, let's talk about something on a little bit more positive note, though, because just talk about Russell Westbrook, it makes me angry. The Dallas Mavericks.
It makes
the
you
Dallas angry. Mavericks have been playing great basketball. They're 10-1, their last 11.
Probably the hottest one game to, by the way. Hold on. Who did they lose that one game to?
Okay.
You just go back and look.
Thank you for enlightening us. They lost one game to a team that's not even top 10 in the East right now. Thank you. But Dallas has been playing great basketball. Fourth best defense in the NBA. I feel like a lot of people don't really associate the Mavericks with defense, but they've been playing good defense. They've held their opponents to below 50% shooting in 21 straight games, which is like by far the longest streak in the NBA. That's unbelievable. And Porzingis has played in the last three games. Obviously, if the Mavericks are going to be successful this year, they're going to need Porzingis to play well. So is this the year they break out of the first round? Obviously, they've ran into the Clippers the last 2 years, and the Clippers are just a much more talented team. But the Mavericks are playing well right now. I'm not sure what seed they're in right now. They're in the fifth seed. They play the Jazz in the first round right now. But I think they're looking to move up in the seedings a little bit with this win streak. So can they make it out of the first round this year?
I don't think so. I mean – Like I said, with all these teams, you look at Memphis, Utah, Golden State, Phoenix, those are four teams that easily beat him or beat them. I think even Denver, really,
you really think Memphis and Utah easily beat them? Because I don't think so.
I think Utah.
All these series are close.
You got to understand, look what Luka did last year. He took them to seven games with Kawhi and Paul George. Why can't he take Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert to seven games? Or Ja Morant to seven?
Like, but, I mean, the Jazz are more than just Gobert and Mitchell. I mean, they have Mike Conley.
The Clippers are more than Kawhi and PG, too.
Last year in the playoffs, they did not. That was a team that was
the only team that could, by those teams two. That, in my eyes, that you could say would definitely beat this team are the Warriors and the Suns. That's it. Anybody else, I think they're up there with.
I agree. The West is very balanced right now. A lot of these teams have a lot.
I don't think they can remain as a top four defense. Like, I was actually saying that he's improved mightily. Like, he used to be a liability on defense the past year and a half, but he's back to that Knicks form of defense. Luka, though, however, is not. Luka is probably the laziest or one of the laziest defenders in the NBA. I mean, you saw it versus the Knicks, the game we went to.
We watched Julius Randle on a nightly basis, so I can't say anyone's lazy.
I don't know. I just thought, like, Luka doesn't give the effort. I don't know. I don't know. The game I saw,
and I understand that, though, because he's scoring, you know, 30 a game, and with, you know, like I can understand why, but you can hide.
But the Mavericks have a lot of good defensive wings. So, like, Dorian Finney-Smith, Tim Hardaway. So, like, I don't know. It's just that the Mavericks are not like the same offensive team they were in 2020 when they had the best offense in like NBA history. Like, they're not that same offense, I think. Like, you look at some of these games, like 102, 104, like.
The problem is they just, like, Hardaway has been underwhelming this year. Like, that's just the reality of it.
Definitely regressed.
Like, Porzingis, besides Porzingis and Luka, like, who else can you have consistently score for you on a nightly basis?
Jalen Brunson is definitely could do that.
I don't know. A lot of these teams, you look at a lot of teams like the Warriors, they're like, anybody could score for them. Like, we see consistency. Same thing with the Suns, like Mikal Bridges, DeAndre, and those are their third and fourth options. Like, after the Mavericks, you know, Luka and KP, who are you going to go to? Because you haven't had that consistency from Tim Hardaway Jr. this season. He's in a six-man role now. I mean, he's fallen off a cliff, and you're paying him some decent money. The thing is, though, I don't – like, the Grizzlies, too. Like, can Luka not take them to seven games and win? He took a better team last year to seven games.
Well, if you take Grizzlies to seven games, anything's possible in that game.
I know, but I'm saying if he could take Kawhi and Paul George and the Clippers
to seven games, I agree.
He could take anybody in the West right now besides, to me, Golden State and Phoenix to seven games and win. That's my thought. Because I think the Mavericks would be in the same category as, like, the Grizzlies, the Nuggets. I don't know.
We know Ben loves
like
the Jazz. Nuggets,
like those
no, because the Nuggets, guys, you guys always sleep on them. They've actually won, like,
it's because you overrate the Nuggets. That's
right. I don't. They're three games over 500 without Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr., who could both come back for the playoffs.
Okay, but Michael Porter Jr. was horrible. That
doesn't work. Yeah.
Okay,
but he's actually.
Oh, he could come back and score nine points on 25%.
Okay, so Jamal Murray. No, so Jamal Murray is one of the most like underrated. Frank, I mean, for crying out loud, you thought he had like a bad season, even though I just like completely showed you his numbers and like he did not have a bad season.
The Nuggets. You might as well be a Nuggets fan.
Like, well, I'm a big Nuggets fan.
You think the Nuggets would really just wipe the floor at the Mavericks?
I think they would beat the Mavericks. I'm not saying wipe the floor. I think they would.
Okay, but I'm saying the Mavericks are in the same tier as the Nuggets at this point in time.
I just don't. I just think Jamal Murray adds like a whole.
Murray.
You guys have to understand that this guy, come playoff time, he's that guy. Or even regular season,
he's that like guy 20. One good game in the bubble.
No, he averaged 30 points a game in a thing where they went to the Western Conference Finals. He averaged 28.9 points per game in the whole playoffs. For phenomenal. Last year, shot almost 50, 40, 90 on 22 points per game. He's that guy from the perimeter. He can give you that shot creation that, I mean, that they desperately need right now. They just added Bryn Forbes to Denver, who's a microwave off the bench. I think Denver has a real chance to, like, make a run. I think Denver
– run to where?
I don't see them standing
– conference finals.
I don't see them standing ahead of the Suns or the Warriors, and I think the Mavericks are in the same boat as them, and they could beat them.
I would say Denver's on the tier with Memphis and, like – I don't know. I think Memphis and Utah.
Why is Dallas not on that tier, though? They have Luka Doncic. Like, they have, like, the best pure – okay, maybe the Nuggets with Jokic, but, like, they have, like, a star who's on that level. Like, and that's, like, the most important thing come playoff time.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I would say Warriors and Suns. Then I would say, like, Nuggets, Jazz, Grizzlies, Mavericks. That's how I would tier them out. And I think any of those teams in that below, you know, that Grizzlies tier –
It's going to be really interesting, though, because the Clippers are going to get their two guys back, and then that's just going to, like, mess everything up.
Well, yeah, and that's seven teams then. And then really, realistically, if Kawhi and Paul George are healthy, you'd have them, the Warriors and Suns, go through. And then one of those teams in that second tier would only make it. And it that's based up all on matchup then. Who has the easiest matchup out of all those teams? Because let's just say the Grizzlies stay at the number three and, you know, the Clippers are six, the Clippers are going to beat them in the playoffs. So if the
Clippers are a massive if. They're a massive if.
Yeah, but I think both of their guys will be healthy come playoff time, and that's enough to get them through at least one round. I mean, Kawhi.
It depends. Right now they're the ninth seed in the West.
Yeah, because they've been dropping a lot of games, but
yeah, so I don't even
PG
know if it
should be back kind of soon, right?
I think it was a 4 to 6 week injury.
No, they said 3 to 4 weeks in like that. They said 3 to 4 weeks 4 weeks ago, yeah, and then I just heard a report. Another month added on. That happened like last 5 days.
Well, then they might be screwed then. Never mind. But I don't know.
But
I guess time will tell with that.
You know what I want to talk about real quick that we forgot to put on the topics list, but I just remembered it as we were talking about the Utah Jazz. So Rudy Gobert came out and pretty much called out Donovan Mitchell's defense, saying that, you know, you look at other stars in the league like Devin Booker, who are giving effort defensively this year. And like he said how, you know, on the Jazz, there's not a lot of other guys in the Jazz giving that defensive effort. I don't have the quote in front of me. And I'll get it up real quick. But essentially, he called out Donovan Mitchell saying that, you know, we don't have our star players getting that effort on defense. Like, you know, the Devin Bookers, Steph Curry's, like the Klay Thompson, I mean, the Draymond Greens, like this, the stars around the league on top teams. So, it is kind of true. You look at the Jazz. When they didn't have Gobert for that stretch of games, they got blown out by the Pistons. I mean, they've lost some. They're really cool right now. They lost to the Cavs without Gobert as well, not playing good defense.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. When they have Gobert, they're a way different team. Like their record, yeah,
but
totally. Their defense falls off a cliff.
They lost to the Pacers, too, without Gobert. Yeah, Gobert for three games. They allowed 125, 126, and 111. Yes.
But let's talk about playoff time, because come playoff time, Gobert has been a liability before, has he not?
You know, I used to think that, but I don't know because I'm
not saying 100%. I think
Utah's wings. Like, look, the reality is Royce O'Neal. I love him, but he's a 6'4" small forward. He's 6'4" small forward, and
he played power forward last year in the playoffs.
Bogdanovich usually is their power forward though.
Those guys are the same height.
Bogdanovich is taller.
I think Royce O'Neal is 6'8". I don't think he's 6'4".
Royce O'Neal is 6'4". Royce O'Neal is 6'4". Let me look this up. Royce O'Neal stats.
6'4".
Yeah, Royce O'Neal is 6'4". And then Bogdanovich is tall. He's like 6'8", I believe.
Regardless, like, your wings can't defend. Like, and
that's what I'm saying.
It's all Mitchell. It's all Conley and Gobert. That's it. That's your only defense out there.
Conley's a good defender, yes, but not yet. And that's what I'm saying. I think part of it why Gobert, you know, has apparently struggled is because he's not paired with good perimeter wing defenders. I mean, Gobert can't be doing everything on the defensive end because he's asked to protect the paint, and he can't step up on 3-point shots when he's asked to protect the paint.
Yeah, but he can't switch out either, and teams know that they get him in pick and roll, and he's a liability.
The Jazz, like Quinn Snyder's defense is designed where, like, he plays the paint, Gobert. He's designed to play the paint, and they're designed to switch on the outside with the four guys. He's not – it's really the fault of, like, the wing defenders not being able to get out to the corner from, like, the wing area. They're not able to close out to the corner three because the corner three really hurts him in the playoffs.
Gobert was closing out, trying to close out.
But it's the responsibility of the wings to close out, really. It's the responsibility of Bogdanovich. It's the responsibility of O'Neal. And I don't know. I just think that Gobert – I think he's speaking out of frustration, and I think he's – speaking the facts that, like,
they've always had a rift between Donovan Mitchell and Gobert.
Always been one. Yeah.
Yeah. They're always been beefing. There's always something. Last year, you know, the whole Corona thing that they had between them, they just always had back and forth. And this is just the way it's going to be, I guess. But the Jazz are, we all know how the Jazz are. What, they'll win one round in the playoffs and then they'll lose the next round anyways. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. The Jazz are the 4 seed this year, so they're lining up for a tough first round matchup. They might not make it out of the first round.
They
might not
even get past the first round. They've won one out of their last 7 games. They've been bad.
But Gobert's back now. I think they'll start to pick it up again.
But the Grizzlies, like the Suns and the Warriors are like locked into the top two probably. And then the Grizzlies have been playing great. The Mavericks have been playing great. So like Gobert coming back isn't just like guarantee them like to move up, because like I think the harsh reality is like they might just not be better than these teams, you know. And come playoff time, you know, we already talked about it, but do they beat the Mavericks in the playoff series? Do they beat the Nuggets? Like, we don't know.
It's questionable. You
know, Utah, I don't know. I think Utah might have fell in my rankings a little bit. Like, my top four are Memphis, Denver, Golden State, Phoenix. Well, if the Clippers have Kawhi and PG, let me make that clear. They're in there.
You'd have to put them. Yeah. They're in there. You have to go into the top four. They're in there. I think I'd agree with you, but I think, like, to me, like, four and five, and, like, same with even Memphis, like, I'd have the Mavericks up there as well. And same thing with the Jazz. I don't really think any of those teams stand out to me. Like,
no.
They're on another level. Like, I wouldn't put them up so far above. That's why I'd rather
that's why a tier list is, like, more effective for that, because they're all just kind of, like, around each other.
Because then after those six teams, it really drops off. Like, you have, like, the Timberwolves, the Lakers, and the Trailblazers are going to make the play-in tournament with, like, Anthony Simons as their best player.
That's embarrassing, by the way.
Because like he's just been like absolutely killing it.
Yeah, but they've actually been like staying afloat. People like to hate on the Blazers, but like they're 18-26, 5-5 in the last 10.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it staying afloat. They're just like ever so slightly better than the other garbage in the Western Conference. Like,
I don't know, 5-5 to me is staying afloat. Maybe the Nets on the 10th.
Yeah, they did. I don't know though. 18-26 is not a very pretty record, but that's what happens when you put 10 teams in the playoffs now.
Yeah, I wish the Pelicans could sneak in there and get Zion in the play-in tournament.
I don't think Zion's
or even the Kings.
Yeah, when's Zion even going to play? Exactly. That's like.
But there's seven teams in the West that we could lock into the playoffs right now.
Lakers will be there too.
Yeah.
So then eight. I don't know. Maybe the Clippers won't because they'll fall off too far now. But like,
no, they won't, because there's like a substantial drop off between the ninth seed and the 10th. They'll be fine. They'll be in.
I mean, playoffs. You know what's interesting though, like. The Lakers are probably going to be a play-in team again. Yeah. I mean, is that crazy to say that they're a play-in team?
No.
It's not crazy to say, because three out of the last 4 years, they've either been a play-in team or haven't made the playoffs.
So, I mean, injuries. Come on, Graf. Injuries have played a big deal. That. But right now, this season.
You have two superstars. You should be better than.
Yeah, so this season,
they should be a top three seed. Top four seed, no matter what, every single year. There's no excuse.
So they most likely will be a play-in team unless they make a big run, which I don't know if they will be able to do that. We'll see.
And by the way, injuries, like they were like the same team with Anthony Davis, like they were hovering around 500. Like,
you know, no, this year's really been a mess. Maybe I don't know. This year, just
the Clippers Lakers matchup, but in the play-in game this year,
we might get in the play-in tournament.
That would be something else.
Remember that they hyped that shit up so much.
No, you know what's anyway? That's gonna be so funny. Because look, it's going to be the 7-10. If the standings stay where they are today, let's say the Timberwolves beat the Lakers at home in Minnesota. The Clippers beat the Blazers in LA. They go for a Clippers-Lakers battle to who gets the 8 seed.
Yeah, that'd be good.
If Kawhi and PG come back and like ruin LeBron's season, that would be tragic. That would be kind of like, that would be crazy though.
Yeah. LeBron's season's already ruined.
No, it's not. I mean,
whether or not they make the 8th seed or not doesn't really change that. They'll
get smashed in the first round by the Warriors.
That's true, because they play the Suns or the Warriors. They're going to get
smashed. It'd be a 5-game series, I'd say. They'll win one, maybe, because LeBron would score like 50. But besides that, I don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers have just felt.
Just very vulnerable, dude. Like, they're playing Austin Reeves, who they drafted in like the second round, like substantial minutes on a nightly basis. Like, that's not going to work.
And like Ariza starts. But once again, this is all things we talked about. Sometimes you trade Russell Westbrook or trade for him. You trade five players for him.
Yeah.
You have no depth.
They would have just been better. You have two guys on max deals. Just fill out the rest of the team with a bunch of role players that can actually play.
You don't need three superstars to win.
Yeah. Put $8 million towards, you know, I don't know, $8 million towards, let's just say, Buddy Hield. Like, just spread your money out. Like, be smarter about who you – eight. They could have put
– had Hield and DeRozan in their starting lineup. That, like, Jesus, they'd be unbelievable, but – nope, they wanted Westbrook. They got what they asked for. So,
yeah, listen, man. You know, it is what it is. I did kind of want that Lakers-Clippers play-in tournament. That would be just hilarious.
Yeah.
I like that as well.
It would be even funnier, too, if, like, Kawhi couldn't play for the play-in and, like, he could only make it back for the playoffs and, like, Paul George somehow carried them to the win. That would be even crazier. But, yeah, all right, let's get into some Talk to Us Thursday. As always, if you guys have questions for us to answer on the podcast, make sure to drop them in the YouTube community tab and we'll answer them on the pod. So the first one we got is from our man, Dude, who said, is it possible for the Lions to make the playoffs next season?
No. They're still a few years away.
They're
But I they have a solid young foundation. They need a quarterback. They need a lot of stuff, but there's a solid young foundation.
It'll be a 6 or 7 win team next year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least one more year. And then we got our man, Human Being, who asked, will Aaron Rodgers leave Green Bay even if they reach the Super Bowl?
I don't think he's leaving in general. Where is he going to go that's a better situation than what he has in Green Bay? There's nowhere. He's not leaving. That's my thought.
It might not be a football thing. Maybe he just hates Green Bay. Maybe he hates some of the people
there.
Does
he, though? His best friend there is Bakhtiari. Davante Adams is going to get tagged. I think he might play one more year and then leave.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
We're not him.
And let's answer this question from Chase Monzo. Could Pittsburgh get a basketball team?
No. If there were to be an expansion team, it would.
I don't think so. I think Seattle, Las Vegas.
Las Vegas and Seattle would be the next two up for sure.
I don't think, like, no offense to Pittsburgh. It seems like a great town, you know, like, but I don't think it really warrants a basket. I don't know. I mean, they do have a hockey team. They do have every other thing.
Matter, like, the blueprint is already so clear for if there were to be two more expansion teams. And
yeah.
There's just already a team in, like, there's already a team in Pennsylvania, and I get Philly's far away from Pittsburgh, but, like.
It's Seattle and Vegas. Simple as that.
Yeah. Seattle and Vegas, I would say, are the two locks. And then our last question from our man, CD Lamb, who would win? Who is this guy? Bolie Maguire? Who is that? Anyone know? Bolie Maguire or Thanos?
Oh, I'm taking Thanos all day.
All right, we might
have to beat anybody anyway, I think.
We might have to cut this out if it's like
Thanos has the Infinity Stone Gauntlet, bro. He's literally a W.
Peter Parker, aka Bolie Maguire, Evil Dance. Are we just that, like, apparently it's a dance from Spider-Man 3?
Yeah, I don't like watch that stuff. I don't know.
Bolie Maguire Dance.
I don't know what that is.
That's what it's called. So is it just like Peter? Is it just Spider-Man versus, like, I don't know, Spider-Man versus Thanos?
Yeah, I'm taking Thanos, though, dude. He's
taking Thanos for the W. Thanos has
the Infinity Stone Gauntlet, bro. He's getting the dub.
Thanos is the ultimate strength. You know Thanos is
getting that dub. For sure, Thanos.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, that's going to be it from the Sneaky Sports Podcast, Season 4, Episode number 6, on this Thursday, January 20th, 2022. Real quick, before we sign off, make sure to follow us on our socials, our Instagram, our TikTok, our Twitter, and make sure to rate our podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if you have not already. We'll see you guys next Monday after the divisional round, previewing the AFC and NFC championship games and talking about those games. So peace out, fellas. We'll see you next time.